Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome. I'm so glad to see you here, to be here with you again for another hour as we talk about finding hope for healthy families, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Listen, have you seen the movie Unsung Hero yet? It just hit the box office last week. This is a movie about the Smallbone family, who you may better know as For King and Country, or if you are a 90s Christian music fan, Rebecca St. James. Well, I had the opportunity to go to one of the first screenings last Friday night, and Joel and Luke Smallbone came to the theater where I was, crashed it. It was amazing. It was wonderful. It was so exciting. And even more exciting, it turns out that the director of this movie is someone that I was in high school youth group with, and he is one of my friends, and he has agreed to be on the show on Friday. So Friday, we will be hosting Richard Ramsey, who is the director of the movie Unsung Hero. It was the number two movie in the box office last weekend, and it's just always inspiring to me to see faith-based films take such a front row seat. And I'm telling you, I laughed, I cried. It was such a good movie. I'm going to see it again. If you haven't seen it, grab your family and take them and look at this inspiring story, and tune in on Friday when we hear the backstory of the director, Richard Ramsey. So I'm really excited to bring that to you. But today we are talking about something different. We are going to talk about taking a leap of faith, which really, honestly, that's what happened in the movie. This family took a leap of faith going from Australia to Nashville, and where God led them. And today we have an author who has taken a big leap of faith. We've got Rachel G. Scott. Now, she's a devoted wife, a mother, an entrepreneur. She's an Ohio native. She holds a Bachelor of Science from Kansas State University and an MBA from the University of Mary. Rachel is the founder of the I Can't Come Down movement, the host of the podcast Taking the Leaps, and a Bible teacher. Rachel and her husband of more than a decade, Willie, have a blended family of seven children, and they are the founders of Better Than Blended, a ministry providing resources, support, and community to blended families. You can find her on social media at I Am Rachel G. Scott, and her website, rachelgscott.com. That's R-A-C-H-E-L and Scott with two T's. And she offers you a unique online quiz that you can take to determine your leaping style, which we're going to talk about today. Rachel, I am so thrilled to have you on the show. Welcome, and thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I am excited and honored to be here.
Well, I am just excited that we have this opportunity to talk again. You and I have e-met before, but the shoe was on the other foot. You were hosting me for a nursing forum, and so I am delighted to pay back that honor and to host you here. And Rachel, I would love for you just to introduce yourself to our audience, tell them a little bit about your background, your story of faith, and how you got to be an author, an entrepreneur, and all the things.
Yes. So as you mentioned, I'm a wife, a mom, a Bible teacher, and I have a podcast as well as a ministry. I grew up in the church, so I have had a relationship with God since I can remember, but my relationship truly became authentic and genuine. I said I went from a parent's Jesus to a personal Jesus when I was around my 20s, and life just led me down a path of where I knew I needed God to really sustain me. And so that's where I really began to embrace who God was personally for me and on the journey that I would take ahead. My husband and I got married back in 2011. And so we are going into I think we'll be hitting 13 years. As you mentioned, we have seven kids. My husband had three when we met. I had two, and then we had two together. We started off with our blended family ministry. And then I want to say maybe about 3 years into that, God really began to lead me to want to pour into his people in a fresh way. And I was reading the book of Nehemiah and came across Nehemiah 6:3, where he's talking to his enemies and says, I'm working on something great. I can't come down. And I just truly knew that that was a life message for me. And it was a life message for me to share with other people. And so in the midst of all of that, I started a ministry that really focused on helping people to walk in their purpose and assignment and take bold leaps of faith. Then I noticed that there was a bit of a challenge, which is that a lot of people knew what they were called to do. They knew the purpose. They knew their assignment, but they were hesitant when it came to actually taking that leap. So that's where the other resources that I created came from, is to really bridge the hesitation between knowing what God called us to do and actually doing it.
Wow. Well, that is really inspiring, Rachel. And I am really excited for you to tell us about your book today, Taking the Five Leaps, Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. And this is just something I think that we all struggle with as humans, as parents, just looking at if you're walking with the Lord, you really want to be faithful to God, and you know that God is faithful to you. You want to respond to His call in your life, but that can be hard to do. And I just love this creative take that you have that you've taken on this and taking the five leaps. So just share with us an overview of your book and how you got inspired with the idea and what exactly we're looking at.
Yeah, so I have a writer's mentoring program that I tend to do. I paused for a little bit, but one year when I was actually doing the program, I was talking to someone who was a healthcare worker, and she wanted to write, and she felt like that is what God called her to do. And so she was struggling to decide if that meant she had to walk away from everything she was doing as a healthcare worker, the stability that it provided for her home, the contribution that she made in helping her husband. Did she have to leave that and go into this completely unknown space of writing, start from the ground up? And, you know, when I was listening to her and I talked to her, I encouraged her and just prayed with her. But afterwards, I really felt what she was saying. I have been there so many times where I'm like, Lord, is this the only way that I can obey what you called me to do, to walk away from everything and to give it all up? And so whenever I am in my Bible time with God, I tend to ask a lot of questions.
I love it.
And so this specific day, I asked them, I said, Lord, is this the only way that someone can obey what you have asked them to do? And if not, can you show me someone in the Bible who? And that is like my key question with anything, whether it's parenting, whether it's being a wife. I always say, Lord, show me someone in the Bible who, whatever it may be. So that's what I asked them. I said, show me someone in the Bible who has taken other types of leaps. And that's where these came from.
Well, you know, when you're talking about that conversation you had with a healthcare worker, I feel like that could have been me, Rachel, because that's exactly how I felt when I felt God calling me to write a book. I'm thinking, what does this look like? Like, am I not going to be a nurse practitioner anymore? Do I not be a professor? Do I do this or that? And so I can relate to that. And I know you and I have talked about that before. And so I like I said, I really love this example that you give of looking at these five leaps, and each one is tied to a biblical example. And, you know, I'm looking at the way you got the shepherd's leap, and well, I'll just let you give an overview of these, but it's really intriguing. And I know you're going to give a summary of these, but I'd encourage you to get the book and read the whole story because you go into pretty good detail on each one of them.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's important when it comes to really diving deeper into understanding your own personal leap style or the leap that God is calling us to make, to read something that'll really unpack it. And that's what the goal of this book is to really unpack it so that when a person is feeling called to respond to the nudge that they're sensing, they don't feel like there's only one way to do this. It's an invitation, and for many of us, it doesn't feel like that if we're not aware of other ways that we can respond to the call.
So what are the five leaps? Tell us what they are and give us a brief summary of each one.
Okay. So I'll name all five of them, and then I'll give you a short synopsis of each.
All right.
It's the fisherman, tent maker, builder, shepherd, and trailblazer. So the fisherman is based on the story of Peter, and that is when you completely leave your career to step all the way into your calling. That's the one that I feel like most people are terrified of.
Absolutely.
The only option. So that one is on the story of Peter. Then we have the tent maker, which is based on the story of Paul, and that is where your career and your calling occupy space in the same season. So you may be working full-time, but you start that ministry, you write that book, you do the other thing that God is calling you to do, but you don't completely walk away from your job. But there's still a lot of risk involved in that. And then we have the Builder Leap, which is based on the story of Nehemiah. And that is when you temporarily leave your career and you go into your calling. And then you go back. You go back to that career. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Shepherd's Leap based on Abraham, which is a relocation when God is giving you new territory. And finally, the Trailblazer's Leap, which is the story of Jesus. And he did all the leaps for us. So that's the person who has done all of the leaps before. And now they're called to disciple other people while they embrace living a leaping lifestyle.
Well, I love that you set this up in your book, because section one of your book is called The Leaping Lifestyle. And you go over all of those things, like from going from a calling to a vision, which is a really important place to be, because a lot of us can feel kind of this vague calling, but then God can give you a vision of exactly what that's going to look like or what steps that you need to take forward. And then you talk about the vehicle of the vision, how to get there, the purpose of it all, the setup, having your attitude with favor above fear. And then you give these really wonderful biblical examples, which it just never ceases to amaze me how much wisdom we can gain from God's word and how he continues to inspire people like you, you know, with a different way of looking at it. And I want to talk about two of them in particular, just for right now, and then we'll go back to them a little bit later. But the first one I want to talk about is the Trailblazer's Leap, because you were having a little bit of a hard time deciding what to call this when you were looking at what Jesus did. And then your husband suggested this word, right? The Trailblazer. How was Jesus a trailblazer? Can we dive down into that a little bit more?
Yes, yes. So when I thought about all of the leaps that that I had already been given, because the Trailblazer one, like I mentioned in the book, was the last one, I'm like, there's got to be one that describes all of them. And I'm like, Jesus, I knew that at the core of this messaging, it had to all point to Christ. And so I'm like, Jesus did all of these. I mean, he went from heaven to earth. He returned back to heaven. Then he had a season where he was a full-time carpenter. But then he had a season where he was a carpenter, but he started doing ministry, even though it was not yet his time. He was still doing both. And then he went fully into the ministry work that he was called to do. And, you know, we, even with the relocation from heaven to earth, that in and of itself is a shepherd's leap. You know, the temporary nature of the assignment that he had was a builder's leap. And then when he was doing the miracles before it was his time, that was a tent maker's leap. And then when he goes fully into ministry, that was a fisherman's leap. So we get to see Christ through all of these before us, and we know that we are called to model him. So when I looked at that, I'm like, this is what it looks like to be a follower of Christ, is to embrace this idea of living a leaping lifestyle just like he did before us. And so the Trailblazer came from just this idea that that's what he was. He was a trailblazer. He showed us how to do it, how to do it well, and we want to follow in his footsteps.
It was really inspiring to me, because you present, you know, these kind of paradigms that we can take from Jesus even in our modern day life. So, for example, one of the things, the comparisons that you draw, is that he went from a family business to a kingdom business. I mean, he was trained as a carpenter. He was working with a family who was a carpenter, and then he left that to go into the ministry. And I felt like that was so relatable in looking at, you know, the ways that Jesus has walked before us and how he has done, you know, he was fully human and fully God. It was just really interesting to me to look at his life in that way. And the other one that I want to talk to you about, we're coming up on a break here, but I really want to talk to you about the Shepherd's Leap. Now, in this leap, of course, you're talking about Abraham. It really is talking a lot about moving to a new physical relocation. And it was fascinating to me because, here, and I'll read from your description of it. You say, although all the details may not be determined, we have faith that God will provide a preordained path and predetermined provision. And we are required to let go of people and places close to us and believe what we are walking into is just as important to God as what we are walking away from. But you talk about a scripture in there, get up and go to the land I will show you, that is often misused. And you said, hey, people missed something in this verse about the way that Abraham was prepared and did know a little bit about where he was going. So when we come back, Rachel, I want to talk about that. We're talking with Rachel G. Scott in the book, Taking the Five Leaps, Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Why is our society so ravenous to abort babies? According to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents, and sickly believe their blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle, and their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. And every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to my conversation with Rachel G. Scott. We are talking about her book, Taking the Five Leaps, Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. And she has given us five kinds of leaps, each associated with a biblical character, and such a great lesson to learn. And Rachel, before the break, I was asking you about Abraham. Get up and go to the place I will show you. You say, hey, not so fast. What can we learn from that?
Yeah, you know, I was also the person who thought that just meant to go out and God is going to show me everything. I don't have to have all the details. I don't have to have all the information. But when I actually started reading Genesis, I want to say it's 11 and 12, I noticed that really what happened was Abraham and his father and Lot, they set out to go to Canaan, but they made a pit stop. And in that pit stop, it says that they settled there. So when they settled in that space, I like to say sometimes we make a pit stop, a permanent stop. They were really supposed to be headed to Canaan. And we find out later that Canaan is where God really began to reveal himself to Abraham and all the things that he had as he started moving toward that direction. So I like one thing that I noticed as I was studying was that when Abraham set back out his father ended up passing. And it says that Abraham set out to Canaan. So he didn't just randomly say, okay, now that my father is gone, I'm just going to figure out where I'm going. He continued in the direction where his father was supposed to finish. And that, to me, lets me know that God is not just going to call me to something and not give me any details, any insight. Abraham had some insight as to where he was going. He just wasn't fully clear of what was going to happen when he got there, but he knew where he was going. He also had provision with him. Mm-hmm. He had all of the livestock with him. So he was pretty wealthy when he set out to the next instruction that God gave him. So when I hear people say that, and I've said it myself, and I had used that as a reason for me to kind of just jump and leap into something without having all the details in order, I realized that that may not be the scripture that we can use for that specific thing.
I thought that was really intriguing because, you know, for our modern Western society, we think about Abraham as this shepherd, and shepherds don't have money, right? And they're just sitting out in the desert and he's going. But it wasn't like that. I mean, he really was wealthy and had provisions, like you said, for the journey. God had prepared him for that. So that was really eye-opening to me. I really appreciated your perspective on that. But Rachel, I want to ask you, what do you think motivates God? Why does God call individuals to take these leaps? Like, because we hear from all the time from people who feel called by God, and we'll hear them say that, I was called by God to do this. Why do you think that's happening?
You know, I have one answer, and I say that so that his will can be done on the earth. God has one goal, and it is that none will be lost. And we see that in 2 Peter 3:9. He speaks to that. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So anything that he asks us to do will point toward that goal. So when he's asking us to take a leap, it is all pointed toward the goal that none will perish. When he's saying to move to this place or to start this new job or to pull away from that job, We don't know exactly all the details of it, but we know that it's connected to the goal that none will perish. And he's positioning us as his vessels to be where we need to be to minister to. It could be our children. It could be our spouse. It could be someone in our job. It could be in a new state. It's all the goal that none will perish.
That is absolutely true. And you're right. Our most important mission field is our kids and doing that as a parents. But, you know, I think a lot of times, Rachel, about, you know, I've taken a lot of these leaps and I could see myself in reading through this book in so many different times and different stages of my life and different things that God has called me to do. And it wasn't lost on me that my children are watching this. And I feel like we need to give them vocabulary for this journey. You know, a lot of times it's just kind of, well, that's the way it is. We don't really talk through it intentionally. And I feel like that's part of what you're doing is giving us some vocabulary and specific biblical application so that we can share that with our kids because they are watching these leaps that God is calling us to do. And maybe that's not a call to the ministry. Maybe that's a call to move to a new job. You know, it's something that doesn't seem like, okay, I'm not being called to be a pastor, to be a missionary to Africa or, you know, another country or continent or something like that. It's just, I feel God calling me to take this job in another state or to, you know, do something different, to make a career change, to go back to school, to stay at home, you know, instead of being in the work or go to work from staying at home, all of these things. So what leaps have you experienced? What has been your experience? Where do you see yourself in these leaps that you wrote about?
You know, I want to speak real quick to what you mentioned about the kids, because when I look at my own children, every leap that I made cultivated a gift in them that had I not made that leap, I would not have seen. Anytime I stepped outside of my comfort zone, it's like I almost prepared the path for them in another area. And it, had I stayed where I was at, they would have missed out on seeing their mom do that before them to give them the confidence to know that they can do it. Because as kids, we really give them that confidence. They don't know how to find their confidence in Christ quite yet. They do, but not in the way that we do as adults. And so their confidence in who they are is really cultivated through what we say, what we do, and them seeing us do that for them. So even for me, as I've taken different leaps throughout my life, I mean, you know, I think of the leap that I took when my husband and I, we both went into full-time ministry. Mm-hmm. Even in doing that, the kids got to see how the journey of it can look. There were some ups and there were some downs. There were some, you know, in-betweens all there. But they also got to see when God began to flourish us in other areas. So they got to see when the opportunity for me to write a book came about. They had the chance to see when, you know, I got to share on certain podcasts or radio or television, and they were just like, wow. And they saw that all that came from my yes and obedience to a moment that was maybe a little bit more difficult because I didn't know exactly where that moment would lead to.
Well, that's really convicting because, you know, they're going to see it whether we're intentional about it or not. But I think we're really missing out on an opportunity when God calls us to something and we don't share that. I'm just thinking about even in writing my book, which I know I've said it now twice, but that was my big leap. It was super scary for me, Rachel, because I was comfortable in my professor role and I thought, okay, life is rolling around good. And you know, I'm writing this and it could have just been something that, you know, well, it's just me, I'm writing the book. But really, my family took that leap with me and they read the words that I read. They talked me through, okay, are you going to share that publicly or not? And why would you? And, you know, what's your spiritual journey in that? And it was such a great opportunity to really model that dialogue that I was having with the Lord and to share that with them and say, here's where I am in this walk. You know, I'm at a roadblock. I'm at a place of fear. And I think there's a lot of fear we have when we have these leaps. Sometimes we know we're going to take them, but we're doing it scared. Sometimes we don't know if we should because we're just frozen by fear. And how do we surrender our fears and be confident when we make that leap and show that confidence to our kids, just like you were talking about?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I have to remind myself that is that fear is not a friend, it's a foe. And so often we get comfortable with the direction that fear wants to take us rather than telling fear that we are going to lead because we're the ones hearing from God. So, you know, all throughout the Bible, we see the word fear. We know that the evidence of fear is going to be there, but our response to fear is what's important. You know, I think about even Mary and her response to her fear. You know, she, even though she was afraid, she still said, Lord, that she was willing to do whatever it was that she needed to do. Mm-hmm. And so she was willing to carry Christ out, regardless of the fear, regardless of the rejection that she would endure. She was willing to do whatever it took. And so I think our posture when it comes to fear has to be to look at Jesus, to keep our eyes on Jesus in the midst of the fear that we may be feeling. Because ultimately, he knows the direction he wants to take us. Had she responded to fear and said, I can't do this, I'm not going to do this, then our Savior would have never come. And so our fear, there is a response that we have to give. And we want to respond to fear in a way that acknowledges who our God is in the midst of feeling that fear and knowing that the fear is present.
That is so much easier said than done, Rachel. It is, but you're so right. It really is so simple. And I think it's really profound that the concept you're talking about is a leap. At some point, you just got to do it. It's not a step. Yeah. It's just a leap out in faith. And I think sometimes, you know, one of the things you talk about in your book is that we decide, okay, I'm going to take this leap. You know, I'm going to do it. And then all of a sudden, everything seems to go wrong. There's hurdles. There's, you know, things that go sideways. And it just feels like, wait a second, like, are we supposed to do this? And things aren't going like you thought in the timeline that you thought. How do we understand those in the context of God calling us to leap and being willing to leap, but then it just doesn't go like we think?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a difference between a barrier and a hurdle. So a barrier is just completely blocking us from moving forward. It might be God's way of slowing us down or stopping us completely. Whereas a hurdle, you just have to strategize a little differently about how you are going to approach that. It does not mean not to do it. My son, he does track. And so when I'm sitting there for hours and hours and hours watching all the people on the track field, he doesn't do hurdles, but I get to see the hurdlers. Mm-hmm. And it's never, the hurdles are not saying, don't do this. It just means I have to strategize differently. They have to jump over the hurdle. So truly, it's an invitation to see how does God want us to go about responding to this nudging that we're feeling to do something for him. And here's the other thing I want to mention is that it's not going to be comfortable. I don't think that God calls us to comfortable places. He calls us to the places that need him the most. And that lack of comfort is usually an indication that this is God and it is not us, and that we get to lean on him all along the way. So I think about even those hurdlers. That is not comfortable for them to jump over that when they could be like everyone else and just run across the track.
Amen.
But they do it because there is something different for them on the other side of that. There is a different accomplishment. There is something for them. So I just want to encourage those that are listening, that are saying, okay, is this a block? Is this a barrier, or is this a hurdle? Who, just spend time with God. Go back to the last word that he gave you concerning that, and then look at what's in front of you and say, does this mean I need to strategize differently, or I need to ask God for fresh strategy with this? Or is this him saying, okay, turn around, not now, now is not the time?
That's a really good perspective, because sometimes you're right. We can approach a hurdle and think, oh, that's a barrier. That's a block. It's telling me not to go this way. But sometimes we just have to go over it. And I just want to say yes and amen to the fact that it is not comfortable. I am not athletic, Rachel, not in the slightest, but I have seen the hurdlers and I think, how do they do that? But, you know, as they train, they get better and better and better at being able to do it. And you're right, they do have a different skill set and they inspire us in a different way. But, you know, from what I know of your ministry and what you've written in your book, really the most important thing of all of this is prayer, because that is what we need to trust and to strategize with God and to be in line with the vision that he gives us. And, you know, you have 7 kids. I'm sure you pray a lot, Rachel. I feel like I've prayed more with every kid that was born. You know, I was praying more and more and more. But what does prayer mean to you? And how do you incorporate that into your journey?
Yeah, you know, I think about prayer as truly the atmosphere that's necessary for everything else to happen. we look at just the armor of God, and I ask God, like, well, why isn't prayer a part of the armor? Like, we have everything else, but prayer isn't a part of the armor. But I believe that's because prayer is what creates the atmosphere for him to do everything else that he wants to do. So for me, it is a continuous, it's a continuous part of my everyday life. You know, I talked about this idea recently of praying without ceasing. And what does that really look like? Mm-hmm. And I noticed that throughout my day, I'm just praying about stuff. Like, it can be the smallest thing, and my mind will start praying about it. And it's almost like I have to catch myself and say, I was just praying. And to me, that's praying without ceasing, which is this idea of everything that comes before me, everything that concerns me, everything that's on my heart, I take it to the Lord in prayer, just in conversation. I can be washing the dishes, and I'll look outside, and I'll think of a person, and their name will come to my mind. Well, before, I would go to, let me call them, let me text them, let me check on them. But now I'm like, let me pray. Let me pray for them, and then ask God, what does he want me to do next? So when we're talking about these beliefs, prayer is so essential to the whole process, because if we don't pray, we don't get instruction. When we don't get instruction, then we can make missteps. And then when we make missteps, we think we didn't hear God right. So prayer really is the foundation of knowing what we're supposed to be doing next and how to move forward.
That is so true, because I really tried to work on that this year, and just the concept you're talking about and praying without ceasing, because I feel like, you know, God is calling me to make leaps all day long. I mean, some of them are really little and some of them are big. I just feel like I'm in a season. Maybe I'm just a spiritual hurdler, Rachel. I feel like maybe that's the vision that I'm getting here right now. But, you know, I feel like when I wake up in the morning, I think, okay, Lord, what do you have for me today? Where are we going to go? Who are we going to talk to? What are we going to do? I'm here. And I started noticing myself praying, like I told you, when I became a mom, and I would just pray out loud, honestly, and desperation. And I remember one day just praying out loud, saying,
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back. We are talking to Rachel G. Scott. We're talking about her book, Taking the Five Leaps, Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. And she has talked about five leaps in here. And Rachel, I've got some more questions about some of the specific leaps, because, again, I just loved your biblical application of this. And I could see myself in so many of these characters. So let's go back to the fisherman's leap. Why does Peter's obedience to God make him an example of the fisherman's leap?
You know, I think about how Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And so, yes, there were 12 disciples, but Peter specifically, his journey was a little different. I mean, he's the one who walked on water. He's the one who, you know, clearly there was a different calling that was just on his specific life. But I love the story of Peter as a whole, because I feel like what it does is it really sets the stage for us as believers to walk out this faith journey. We get to see how he handled it. We get to see what he did well, what he did, what he could have done differently. But we also get to see the heart of Jesus and still loving him despite those challenges. So Peter being willing to walk away from everything was huge for him, because we saw his struggle with faith along the journey. We saw that he would also deny Jesus later. But nonetheless, God still said, upon this rock, I will build my church. So Peter's journey, really, so many of us can relate to it as we are walking our own, and we're taking these leaps of faith, and we're trying to figure out if if God is going to do this, and will he answer this, and did I hear him right, and all the questions that Peter also had.
Absolutely. And you're right. And thinking about it that way, I mean, he took the biggest literal leap of faith and proverbial leap of faith. But just thinking about him jumping out of the side of the boat. Like, do you wonder, Rachel? I wonder, like, would I do that? Like, would I just step out of the side of the boat and take that leap? Like, I want to think that I would have, but I don't know if I would. I really don't know that. Do you think that the fisherman's leap, leaving everything behind, you know, hey, leave your nets, follow me. Do you think that's the most challenging, or do you think one of the other leaps is more challenging?
I do feel like that is probably the most challenging because it has the least amount of answers. But second to that one, I would say that the builder leap, where you have to go back and know when it's okay to go back, is just as hard. Because if you've taken this fisherman's leap and you're like, okay, I did what God called me to do, clearly this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and then all of a sudden he's like, okay, I want you to return back to that career or into that industry, and you're like, wait a minute, is this really you, God? So I think that one can be equally as hard, to know that who we heard was God lead us the first time, but also this second time where we're supposed to be doing something different can be just as challenging too.
Well, when you talk about the builder's leap, you talk about specific sacrifices that are required for that. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we realize when we are taking this builder's leap is there's a sacrifice of just having all the details. We have some details, but we don't know all the details. But it's also, you know, I think about when I went, I homeschooled, and then I had to send my kids back. And for me, that was a builder's leap because of the season that I was going into. I didn't have all the information as to why I didn't have all the details, but I knew that it was time for me to send them back. And I had to sacrifice my own plans, my own agenda, my own way that I thought something would look, the way that I thought that it would be done. And surrender that. And so really it's this surrendering that takes place. It's this sacrifice and this surrendering of our own mindset, our own thinking, our own way of doing things, and saying, okay, Lord, what is the direction and the way that you want me to go with this?
Hey, friends. So we are having some technical issues, and I apologize for that abrupt cutoff in the middle of such a great conversation with Rachel. So thank you so much for your patience with these things that happened. And Rachel, we were right in the middle of talking about the sacrifices that are required for a builder's leap. So I'm going to let you go right back in there.
Yeah. So, you know, when I think about just the different sacrifices that we have to make, the biggest sacrifice overall in all of these leaps is our will. We sacrifice what we feel like we want to do for what God wants and his will in our lives. And so even with the builder's leap, it is a sacrifice of will. It's a sacrifice of what's comfortable, what's familiar, and leaning into what God actually wants for us. And so sometimes it requires going back. We're sacrificing what we think things should look like, how we thought it would look when we left. And if he's leading us to go back, which is what the builder's leap is, we may be having to make some sacrifices centered around returning into work, because there is something there that he has for us.
You know, I can't help but think about a recent guest we had on, Natalie Runyon, who wrote Race to Stay and is talking about experiences she had in the church. And, you know, Rachel, all I can think is that she made a Nehemiah-type leap and going back to a church that where she had previously experienced hurt. And she shared the story of when she went into the church, she was complete. It was a sacrifice for her. It was very difficult for her emotionally, but she just felt God calling her to do it. And when she walked in, she was completely unprepared for the tribute the church had prepared to her for her family, and basically making that hurt right, wanting to make that right. And so seeing that, sometimes it's really hard to make that leap because you don't know that's what's going to happen. But then I think, well, would it have been obedience if you didn't know? You know, if God said, hey, go back here, we're going to make this right. I mean, that would be easier. It wouldn't be nearly the journey that we have when he calls us out and requires us to have that sacrifice. I feel like that's part of our faith. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you shared about Natalie, because that's it. You know, and even in her mind, she had this already thought out way of how it will work out, but God had something completely different planned. But she just had to take a step in obedience to return to the place that maybe she didn't want to be at. So So for a lot of builders, that's what it is. They were like, I'm finally free from this job, or I'm finally free from having to do this. And God is like, okay, but I need you to go back. There was just a preparation season. I was cultivating something in you. I was teaching you about grace. I was teaching you about patience. And now I want you to return to that space.
Well, what about pruning and purging as part of the shepherd's leap? Because these are tough things too.
Yeah. You know, one of the things when it comes to the shepherd's leap is that the hard goodbyes, the relationships that we've cultivated over time, the people that we've been connected with, and knowing how to say a proper farewell, but also knowing that what God has for us to come is just as important as what we're leaving, and vice versa. And so that pruning process is really to get us ready for what he has next for us, but we have to be willing to let go. And, you know, I think about a book by Henry Cloud called Necessary Endings. And sometimes it's hard mm-hmm. to know what to continue forward with and what to let go of. But that is part of the pruning process so that we can become who God wants us to be for the next season.
Well, I think there is no bigger leap than taking the leap to start a blended family. That is a big leap of faith, and one that requires a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice, but has so many rewards, as you have shown in your family. So what advice do you have for parents? Maybe speak to those families who have blended families and are thinking about taking all of these leaps. What words of encouragement would you give to them?
I would say to continue to look, to keep your eyes on Jesus through the process, leaning into prayer, leaning into godly wisdom, having godly counsel around you, but keeping your eyes on Jesus and knowing that he has placed you in family and he knew all along that you would be a part of that family. So there is something that you are called to contribute to the family household, to making sure that everyone functions in the gifts that they carry.
That is really, really good advice. And can you think of any of the leaps that you've taken along your journey as a blended family?
I feel like all of them. I'm definitely.
Well, I mean, really, you're like trailblazers, right?
Yes, we're definitely trailblazers. We have done all of them. I mean, the fisherman, the tent maker, the builder, mm-hmm. the shepherd. We've done them all. And so, I think with each one thing that I've learned is that communication is really key. It is an important part so that they're in the loop of what's going on. We don't have to share all the details, but them knowing mm-hmm. that you are responding to a call from God is really important because they will have to respond to calls from God. We're also just communicating with them about why God is leading you to do this as much as you know, and even when you don't know, and you're asking God for mm-hmm. more details, letting them know we're asking God for more details. But we have definitely done all of them with our blended family.
Well, you can find out more at her website, rachelgscott.com. Her social media is I am Rachel G. Scott. You can find her on Instagram. And if you go to her website, you can take her online quiz to determine what is your leaping style and what might you be being called by God to do. And just looking at some of the information from her book, really, what you will find is that Rachel will introduce you to a fresh perspective on the importance of embracing risk and building confidence and finding peace when we relinquish our own desires to pursue God's vision. When we follow the word, pray, choose to persevere and take the leap, we gain a deeper sense of fulfillment, purpose, and spiritual maturity. Well, we will see you here next time where we're prescribing more hope for healthy families. Thanks for sticking with us, even in the technical difficulties that happen. Well, that's okay. That's just real life. And I'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.